Welcome to the New Life Shetland podcast. If you'd like some more information on what takes place at New Life Shetland, then please check out our website, www.newlifeshetland.com. We pray that as you listen to this message, that you will feel challenged and inspired.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 127 says this: unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. I want us to begin a new series this morning called The House That God Built. I suppose I've had a number of different things running around my head for a while that I've felt the need to speak on that I wasn't sure exactly how to pull all together. There's been things to do with, what makes a church a church. How do we keep the main things the main thing? Well, realizing and recognizing the season that we're in on it as a church is we're kind of walking towards a totally new premises and the bit in between that. Do you know that if you read through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and I would encourage probably all of us to, in your devotions, at some point over the next period of time, to spend some time looking at Ezra and Nehemiah, because it talks of a process of what it's like to build the house of the Lord, to build the walls of Jerusalem. And I think it can speak to us for the season that we're at as a church right now. And of course, as I said, we're in the middle of this renovation project. So what is the Lord saying to us? Because he seems to talk to people that while they're on the journey or through the season that they're in. And earlier this week, I was reminded of this psalm that is Psalm 127 that says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And I could not escape this title of what we're going to look at over the next weeks, The House That God Built. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 is another verse that we'll probably look at in the future, which tells us that we are God's fellow workers, that we are God's building, that God is at work in us, and that God is building something out of our lives and out of us together. I don't know if you've thought on this idea of God as a builder. I had a friend of mine, and he was a bit of a character, and he was one of these guys. He was like a joiner, but a kind of self-confessed joiner in his way of doing things. Sometimes my dad would describe sometimes as it being Arthur Daly. Now, I'm too old to understand what that means, but some of you here would understand what that means. It was maybe a bit haphazard, the work that he did, but I remember talking to him one day. He was really helpful. He's a great guy, and I'm being savage to him, but he was good. But he says, I'm really like Jesus. I says, how's that? He says, I'm a joiner. Jesus was a joiner. And I thought, fair play. But Jesus obviously being a carpenter. But I wonder if we've thought of this idea of God as building, God at work. I remember coming home one time from IKEA where we live down south. This is one of the great blessings of living in Shetland. There is no IKEA. We came back from Shetland, from IKEA that day. Car full of flat pack furniture. If you've been there, it's probably kids. It's sitting on their heads like this because you don't want to pay 50 quid for delivery. So you're driving along the road and you've got the long bit extending to the gear stick where you can hardly change gear, and it weighs about 3 tons. So every time you're about to change gear, you're shifting that along the road, and you come home and you empty the flat pack furniture and. You start to read it, the instructions, which are as clear as mud, and it's like you have one of this section, and then you've got two of this section, but the sticker's missing on the section that's meant to be that one, so you're trying to figure what that is. And remember this particular day, I was trying to build this chest of drawers. And it was definitely me, but I remember building this. It was a nightmare. It was like, you know, you're following all the little bits and it says put screw F in here, but screw F looks pretty much exactly the same as screw D. And so you're building it, and I built this whole thing to discover that it wouldn't fit together, the last bit. Like, nightmare. And I realized once it had been built that it was because one of the sides was upside down. So I had to take it all apart and start to build it again. And you start to build up rage against furniture. You know, you ever had that? Like, you stub your toe and you want to kick the furniture because, you know, it's going to do yourself more damage. But if I'm honest, and if all of us here are honest, sometimes that can be a picture of our lives. You see, we take the bits that we think will work and fit together, and we try to fit together our life and fashion it to make something. We try and build ourselves. We try one way, but here's the thing about God. God's not a novice like us. He's a professional. He's a professional builder. And he builds in a way that there's no bits missing. He doesn't build with regret or anything like that. But God's workmanship, the Bible actually says that you are God's workmanship. Jesus also said that he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God is a professional builder. And sometimes we like to build by ourselves. We like to pick up the hammer, the trowel, the whatever it is that we use to build. And sometimes we like to build our own lives. We like to build our own careers. Maybe even how we live out our faith, we try and build it ourselves. But I believe that this series is going to be a word for us in the season that we're in, as we are renovating, but also as we're on the journey towards somewhere new, that we want to be a people and we want to be a house that God built, not that we build ourselves. You see, our time here is short. And if we're wanting to live our lives the way that God intended us, we need to be living not just for this life, but we need to be living for eternity. And we're trying to navigate our way through this life and praying that we get it right. See, as I said, for us, we want God, as we are looking at plans for the building stuff, we want him to be the chief architect, to let him direct our plans, to let him be the project manager, because we go forward in the leading and direction of him. But also we see parallels to our own lives, that we want God to direct our plans. We want him to be the one who leads and guides us, who will be our strength and support, one that who we will work for, that we won't waste our time here, because what it says is that those who unless the Lord builds a house, that the laborers labor in vain. I don't want my life to be lived in vain. Somebody called Natalie Babbitt, they once said this phrase, "Don't be afraid of death. Be afraid of an unlived life. You don't have to live forever. You just have to live." And none of us want to waste our time. And as we look over this series at how God builds, what he does to build, how he plans things, I pray that we will strive to hear his heart and keep going, that our lives will be lives that God has built, that our church will be a house that God has built. So as we go through this morning, I want to ask you the question in your life. Who holds the hammer? Who holds the trowel of your life? These songs and this psalm is part of what's called the Psalms of Ascent. They were sung on their way to Jerusalem during a pilgrimage or during the feasts. And they often make declarations stating their dependence upon the Lord, giving praise and thanksgiving to him. And this psalm is actually, it's split into two sections, but both of them feed off of each other. The first part feeds into the second part, but we're really, really just going to look at verse 1 and 2 this morning and focus mainly on that. Because as I said, we want all of our lives to count for something. Somewhere within us, there's a desire for significance. Somewhere within us, there's this desire that plays out. And we see it played out in different areas of our life. We see it played out on social media. You hear people say things like, "Well, I did it for the likes." And actually, people can get addicted to that in such a way that every time you get a like on a post or something, it actually releases a chemical, and it can be harder to come off social media than it can to come off heroin. True story. The affirming aspect of being on that and getting these likes and things like that, because there's something within us that wants to know that our lives matter. There's a great story told of Alfred Nobel, who we know as the founder now of the Nobel Peace Prize, and which is given to those who make contributions to society for good. But Alfred Nobel was also the inventor of dynamite. Maybe you knew this. And his brother Ludwig died, and the newspaper made a mistake, and they thought that Albert had died. And so the obituary was written into the paper at that time, and it read he was horrified because he opened the paper and read these words: "The merchant of death is dead. Dr. Alfred Nobel, who became rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than ever before, died yesterday." And he read these words and he was horrified that that was going to be the mark that he left on earth. And so in response to that, he left all his wealth to the Nobel Peace Prize as he wanted a better legacy. And ultimately, his life sadly ended with these words. It says that he was surrounded by his paid servants at the time of his death who did not speak his native tongue. So he wrote, "How sad it is to be without a friend who could whisper a consoling word and one day gently close one's eyes." Sad. That he was somebody who would have been an atheist, or that was how he ended his life. And I tell you this, and I read this story, not because of, you know, to take away from the significance of the Nobel Peace Prize and things like that, but I say it to show that there's something within us that desires for something more. Something within us that desires significance. And we can do all the things like the psalmist says in this psalm. We can build, we can watch over, we can get up early, we can stay up late, we strive, we work hard, we toil. And these in themselves are good things. Listen, we ought to have a good work ethic. If you're at your work, I pray that you're the best employee that you can be. Because the Bible says that we ought to do everything with all of our heart unto the Lord, not unto men. So when you're at your work, you might have the worst boss in the world, but you work for the Lord, not for your boss. So you do it with all your heart. That's part of our worship. Also, Proverbs chapter 6 says, "Look at the ant, you sluggard." It's nice of it. "Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? Will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." What's it saying? Proverbs is telling us, work hard. It's telling us to work hard at what we do. And if we look at the whole narrative of Scripture, we see that we work hard. And as I said, it's part of our worship for the Lord. There's some great books that you can look at, one by Ken Costa called God at Work, which is a practical guide for living out your faith in secular employment. And maybe that's something that you can read if you're struggling at your work. But we should work hard. But if we're just building our empires, if we're just doing the things there, then the Bible and the psalmist makes this bold claim that unless we do it God's way, unless he's the one that's building us, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. The laborers labor in vain. And that phrase, "in vain," is mentioned three times in the first couple of verses. And the Hebrew word for that literally means empty. It's pointless. It's in vain. It leads to anxiety and a wasted life. So literally what the psalmist is saying in this, that if you want to have a vain, pointless, anxious, wasted life, then this is how you live your life. Don't let God be the builder. And there's other examples of this. You can look at Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes says that when he saw all the things that he'd worked for, built for, all these kind of things, and it says that he looked at it and it was meaningless. And he comes to the conclusion that without God, it is meaningless. And none of us wants to get to the end of our life and realize that we've missed the point. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, and hopefully that's the way we're living our lives, in a way that is with him as the builder and the one who's leading and directing. But if you're not, then I pray that you will put these things into practice, that you'll shift the course of your life, that you'll hand the tools, the hammer, the trowel, the things that are building your life, you'll hand them to the Lord. Because there's two things that he says that will ensure that we build in vain. And one is if we work without dependence on the Lord. If we live a life that we just get through. Listen, you aren't made just to get by. You're not made just to get by. We're made for so much more. Made for a purpose. I love what Kathy shared, because our lives are made to live out the purposes of God. And sometimes there are times where we can think, well, what's my purpose? How does that work? And I love how even in the midst of challenge, like Kathy said, with her mobility and things like that, that God is using her because all of us has a purpose. And listen, if we are living our lives without dependence upon God, if you're living your life without spending daily time in the Word and in prayer and in relationship with Him, let me say this, that there is a higher plane you can live your life. Because we can live our lives at living out the plans and purpose. You can wake up every morning and say, Lord, build my life. I am dependent on you for today. The second thing that can ensure that we live a life that is in vain is if we toil without our trust in Him. That word toil is right at the very start in the Genesis, and it's a word for pain, to work hard, but it's pointless. Toiling like it all depends on you. The psalmist tells us it leads to eating the bread of anxiety, eating the bread of anxious toil. I've said before that one of the biggest revelations of my life was when I realized that my work was not my provider, but the Lord was my provider. Now, that can seem like a very simple thing to say. That can seem like an easy thing to say. But when that switch was flipped in my mind, it transformed my life. It took the weight of so many aspects that I'd taken ownership of and put it on the Lord. And I remember you, and Bob will be a witness to this, because I before we moved up, I remember saying to Bob, before I knew what any kind of salary was going to be like before we moved here, I knew the Lord had called us. And I says to Bob on the phone, I was sitting in the Prestwick Church car park when I spoke to him, and I says, I know that we've to come. So whatever, like, you know, if the church had said, we can't afford to pay, you've to come, we would have had to trust the Lord. Because the church is not my provider. The Lord is my provider. And when it sounds like a simple little shift, right? But it changes everything. Because it changes how you live your life. If the Lord is in it, then the Lord, it's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on you know, the external. It's dependent on the Lord. The responsibility shifts from being on you or from being on your work to being on the Lord Himself. And it's a far greater place to put our trust in. And I'll tell you, when you realize that your work and these things like that, it's not from a place of, I have to work to earn my wage and things. As I said, we work, but not for our boss, but we work for the Lord. And it changes, and our worship becomes part of that. Why? Because that is what it looks like, and it allows Him to, we build upon His leading and direction. If we don't do that, then the trowel is in our own hands, rather than letting the Lord build the house. There's this phrase, and I go to church conferences every now and again, going on a month's time. I'm looking forward to it, but sometimes I go to these conferences, and there's a phrase that kind of appears from time to time. And it's people, and they say, like, you know, we're involved in building church. We're involved in building church. And I get the sentiment behind it, but it really gets my goat, right? I'm just being honest, right? It gets my goat, because it's not my job to build the church. It's not my job to make it, to do that, because do you know what it does if we do it ourselves? It brings us anxious toil. You maybe even heard a phrase that says, work like it depends on you and pray like it depends on God. And again, I get the sentiment behind it, but I actually think it's wrong. Work like it depends on God. And pray like it depends on God. As I said, it doesn't take away from our need for having a work ethic. I think it's so important. But I want to give you an insight into my mind, because sometimes we can all have a battle, and it doesn't matter whether you work in Christian work like I do, or if we work in the secular sphere, we can all work in a way that is where we take control and we work for anxious toil. I've shared before my own journeys. I shared it at Christmas in the least cheery Christmas message of all time, where I shared of my own challenges with anxiety and things like that. But listen, some of these things can rear their head at times when you get the balance wrong. I'll give you an example of this week, let you into my mind. But I remember on Monday night at the prayer meeting, just sharing about how, I mean, last Sunday was wonderful. One of the highlights of my life in ministry. hearing those testimonies of those who have been, lives been transformed by the Lord. But you know what? Monday hits and immediately my mind goes, what if nobody turns up next week? What if nobody turns up next week? Oh, you're here. Thank you. But I realize this. It's not my job. It's not my job to do these things. And that's where the shift comes. It's like, no, this is God's job. It's my job to be faithful to Jesus, to what he's called me to do. Because unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. See, you can apply this to your own life and your own way. I'm just trying to be honest about mine. And you might be here this morning and you think, well, I'm successful. I've built a good life for myself. Maybe you have built some great things, a great business, a great place to stay, a great life around you. Maybe you're atheist or agnostic. But let me ask this, who gave you the breath and the lungs and the giftings and all these things to be able to do these things? Where does that drive and work ethic come from? We live in a very materialistic world and we're surrounded by a number of comfortable people and maybe we're like that. But as the word would say, that it's not that you can't build, it's just that in the end, if you don't build it the way he wants it, it's empty. We can't take the stuff with us. Unless he builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless he watches over it, then it's unsafe. And these two things, unless he builds the house, I want to just, as I said, think on these two things just for a moment. Unless he builds the house. He needs to be the foreman of our house, of our lives. As the psalm goes on to talk about our family, our children, let's be a people who let the Lord build the house. Let's be a people who give him the hammer. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. You see, when it comes to church stuff, when it comes to doing what God, like, when it comes to, like, you know, I suppose in a sense to use that phrase, building church, that when it comes to go forward, we can't do it on our own strength. We can't do it. This is his church. He has to be the one that holds the trowel. Listen, and I'm not trying to shift my responsibility, but Jesus is the lead pastor of this place, not me. He's the one. And God, I believe, uses leadership. We'll look at that down the line. But we are just laborers in his vineyard, stewards of what he has called us to do. Each one of us playing our part. Moses, on the way to the promised land in Exodus 33, says this, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Listen, for us as a church, unless the Lord is in it, then there's no point. And that's one of the things that I love about last week and hearing the stories and the testimony. Do you know what? I can't save anyone. Can't save anyone. I have the privilege of being involved in baptizing, and that's a wonderful thing, but it's God that does it. It's God that does the work, and we are reliant on him to build. Our dependence cannot be on human strength. Our dependence is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless he builds this, it's a waste of time. And unless he's going with us, and I'm so grateful that he's led and guided us so far and is helping us along the journey, the building journey, but unless he goes with us, then it's a waste of time and we're not going. I remember I've shared this story because it was like a light bulb moment for me a few weeks ago. Months ago, Ariana was looking for a camera. And I remember thinking, oh, this is exciting. It's like I feel like I've passed on something to the next generation. I love photography and these sort of things. This is great. I'll be able to look for a camera, the one that will be great that she'll be interested in. And so I think this is wonderful. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the best that we can get for the budget? And she says to me, Dad, I'm not looking for a fancy camera. She's like, I'm just looking for one to take pictures. Okay. And something hit me that day with that generation that's coming through. And I believe this, that if we understand this, it helps us to reach that generation. People are not looking for something that is the flashiest thing. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for something that's real. All she was wanting was to take pictures with her pal. Do you know the trend right now is the worst bloody pictures that you can see? That's what they want. She wants a camera like I had in 1999. But it's authentic. Captures a moment. And I was thinking of that when it comes to our faith. And when it comes to us as a with the building, and when it comes to us and what we do on a Sunday, you know, we want things to be as best as they can because we want to have an excellent spirit in what we do. We want the music to be as best as it can be. We want creativity in the design process. Thanks, Scarlett, for making a nice graphic for us for that there. But listen, it's an authentic encounter with Jesus that will cause people to bow the knee before him. And when it comes to where we're going, you know, we want to make the building a great success, and we want people to come in and think, wow, this is a, you know, you guys have done a great job. Absolutely. But listen, we want people to encounter Jesus. That's got to be the center of what we do. We want him to be the center of every decision. Why? Because unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And it's the same with our lives. You know, I wonder if you're just here this morning, as I said, you're just building your own life. You're just going through the motions. You're trying to be as successful as you can. But what does that matter when it comes to eternity unless the Lord builds the house? Unless the Lord watches over the city. And I wonder who's guarding your life today. You see, we can't work without trusting in the Lord. Psalm says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we believe in the name of the Lord our God. We must build under his direction and under his leadership, but we must also build our lives with trust and confidence in him. Because when we do that, we're building with treasure that lasts. Matthew chapter 6 says this, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, maybe your lives are under the trust and confidence of your own reputation, your own wealth, your own skills, and your own gifts. Maybe, what would happen this morning if all of a sudden something, all these things that we rely on got taken away from us? What would be there to protect us? What if they were gone? If you imagine you're building, we have loads of boats around Shetland, and if you were to build your boat with the materials of these things, and you were to set sail on the sea, what happens when the storm comes, when our boat's built on these things? We find ourselves shipwrecked, because that's what Jesus, the psalmist says, that unless the Lord watches over us, then we do it in vain. But if our trust and our confidence is in him, then we build under the protection and the watch of the Lord. When storms come, and our lives are not built on sand, but our lives are built on Jesus. He watches over our house, and he is the one who will lead us safely home, not relying on our own strength. Why? Because we trust in him. And as the psalm says, and as the band come and we finish off, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And this morning as we finish, I'll ask you the question, who is building your life? Who's got the trowel or the hammer of your life that is building the way that you want to live your life? Who's leading and directing and giving you the plans for your life? Is it on your own? You just finding your way, navigating your way through? You've got your own flat pack furniture that you're just trying to work it? Or is he the one who is building our lives? Is our lives built upon the confidence and trust of him? Or are they built on things that will fade? Our own strength, our own wealth, our own success. Is that the things that prop up our lives? Or is it the Lord who watches over? Because unless the Lord builds a house, laborers labor in vain. And this morning, I encourage us just to bow our heads for a moment. And maybe the prayer you need to pray today is, God, I give you the trowel or the hammer of my life, unless the Lord watches over. Maybe it's, God, I give you the binoculars of my life to look out for me, to be the one whom I trust and my confidence is in. Because unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain.